take a journey back with us throughout the Halo universe. We're going to be talking about Halo Legends, but we're also going to be talking about what games we've been playing, some upcoming video game news, and game news in general. It's all happening right now, so stay with us.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Video Game Movie Anatomy.
Hello, everybody out there in the internet world. Welcome to space! We're in space!
We're in space!
Yeah! We're a part of the UNSC, because one of our main talking points today is going to be Halo Legends. It's a series of shorts presented by Warner Brothers that took place before this new trilogy that we are currently engulfed in. Well, not engulfed, because Halo 5 came out like 2 years ago. But regardless, welcome to the show. I'm one of your hosts, the internet's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter, at Mark B. Donica. We've got the whole squad in town. First of all, Stacey Shuttleworth.
Hi, guys. I'm Stacey Shuttleworth. You can find me online on Twitter and Instagram at Stacey Shuttles or all over the web at Nerds Doing Stuff.
Patrick D's.
What is up? How are you guys doing? You can find me at P to the D's. Or don't. I don't know. Or here. You know, whatever.
Find him there.
Yeah, fine. Tweet at me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Find him on the streets.
That. Yes.
The streets of Salt Lake or Colorado.
Twitter and the streets and the freaking I don't nope.
DM in the sheets.
Sure DM in the sheets. Yes, that's Twitter. Not bad.
Twitter in the streets. Okay. DM in the sheets.
That is right. Not bad. All right.
If that's not a thing already. So we're gonna be trying something a little bit different today. We're gonna do a little bit more video game stuff than movie news, and movie covering, not just because we're running out of movies to do, but because there's a lot of news in general. There's a lot that we haven't done, and I'm really excited for the one that we're gonna be doing in 2 weeks.
Yes,
which I think I told you, but I didn't
I
tell
have
you.
No clue. So anyway. As long as you're exciting, excited, I'm down.
It's fun. So we're gonna start out with what we've been playing. Patrick,
yes.
You've been playing a little bit of Prey.
A lot of Prey.
Yes.
Yes.
Forgive me.
Yes.
20 hours of Prey.
Probably. Yeah. Right in that range. I have been. Are you guys up on Prey? Are you excited about this? Like, what is your coming into Prey? What do you know about it? What are you excited about it?
Anything? I mean, I know the basic premise, and if I have time, I would be down to check it out, but it's not one of those priority I need it right now games.
I love the launch trailer.
Yep.
Or the announcement trailer, and then the once we got a little bit more into like, oh, it's really Prey.
Yeah.
I didn't play any of the original stuff back in the day, but it's one of those franchises that you can't help but just revere.
Yeah, totally. It was weird. So like, I did play the original Prey with Tommy, the American, the Native American, and these weird like warp. It's not a game worth talking about. But like, it was interesting that they wholly just rebooted it, right? Like, so it is. It is a whole new thing. It is not in any way tied to the original by Human Head Studios, not in any way, shape, or form. And it's this is Arcane Austin. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that studio, but a lot of folks from the Looking Glass studio, which was, you know, that did the original System Shock, Shock 2. And those guys went off, you know, Ken Levine went off and did Bioshock and whatnot. The guys from Gone Home, like, this on paper to me was like everything I want in a game, right? It's that immersive sim. It's in space.
A lot of space today.
And I'm excited to have you guys jump in because there's a lot to talk about. No, I won't get into too much about it, but it is a rough first 5 or 6 hours. Did you guys get a chance to play the demo?
No, not at all.
So they released a demo, which I think is a weird strategy.
Is it still available?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's, you know, the first, ostensibly, it's like the first hour of the game, but like, the game, okay, so first of all, narratively, it's got an incredibly strong start. Like, it grabs you from the get-go. Like, not as everything is as it seems, incredibly compelling, and then the world opens up a little bit, and that's what they actually put in the demo. This really bad, like, it's not a combat, combat is not the hook here.
Tell us how you really feel.
For the first 5 hours are just a slog. Mm-hmm. But like I said, like I genuinely don't know that there's a game that on paper I could have been more excited about. Like, again, their pedigree is, it's everything I want a game. I love the Deus Ex games. I loved the look of this game. I was very excited. And then I got in and it was just a slog. So let me set this up. So you're on a space station.
On a space station.
Okay. That's gone to shit.
Yep.
Some aliens. Anyway, one of the things that you fight are the first enemies you encounter, especially in that first few hours, are mimics. And a mimic is this alien creature that literally can replicate anything it sees. So that conceit is awesome because any room that you go into, that cup might not be a cup. The minute you turn around, it could be a mimic.
I was going to say, if I just got a legion of cups just like, just like scraping around the ground coming after me,
it's
like shaking around, I'd be into it.
It's, but it's really, the meaning, you can never really be comfortable, right? Like very literally anything could be an alien presence. So it is kind of neat, but you start the game without any weapons for a good amount of time.
That's
you
awesome.
Start with a wrench and it's really rough. Like, they're fast moving and they're small and you're like with the controller and it's just, I would encourage folks at home, if you haven't played Prey, it is worth sticking it out because I'm here to tell you it definitely does get
so
quite a bit better.
Stick through the first 5 hours.
Yeah, because you get, you not only get better weapons, but you also, and again, none of this is spoiler related, but the upgrade system is what they call a neuromods, and you get, like, you know, again, ostensibly skill points to put into various categories. You build out your tree, and what you can do is
It's not like plasmids or anything, is it?
Yeah, kind of like plasmids. A lot like plasmids. Actually, okay. The combat's very kind of similar, right? So left trigger would be your alien power or your plasmid, if you will. Right trigger's the shoot. And as you as you gain those alien powers, the game becomes much more interesting. One of the things, again, in all of the trailers, so not giving anything away, you gain that mimic ability, so you can turn into said cup if you want, which roll down some stairs,
just
plays cup.
It's prop
can you
the
move
game.
The cup?
Or
yeah, you can move the cup.
Excellent. I'm gonna play it just for that. 100%.
It is a delight.
Yep. They put a story mode attached to Gary's mod. Prop hunt.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway.
Excited to play it.
No.
You just said,
I know.
You just said play it.
I want people to play it. I don't know where it ends. So first of all, I have to say this because it's killing me. There is a side quest in this game that very literally tips you off to how the game ends.
Oh, that's not fun.
It's not okay. So I've mixed feelings about the game. So I'm 20 hours in. I'm compelled to finish it because I'm interested to see where the story went. Combat never really gets much better. It is terrifying. So if you like that tense kind of experience, you want to be on edge all the time. Highly recommend this game. But yeah, I don't know. I think the jury's definitely still out on it for me. What I will say, just really quickly on the neuromods, the thing that makes the game really interesting, you're actually injecting alien DNA, but it's this risk-reward. You can play the entire game without upgrading any of your alien powers. And if you do that, all of the ship's defenses will be on your side. Mm-hmm. But the ship's defenses turn on you as you become more alien. So do you want to build that out and become, you know, part of these... these aliens. Anyway, that's Prey. I'm jury's still out, so check back in another couple of weeks. I'll probably finish it, and hopefully that's, you know, it ends as strong as it starts, because it starts out with a bang and then just lets you wallow in it for 5 hours. So
I hope it does too. So over the weekend, Stacey and I and her husband got together. We played a little bit of Injustice 2.
Yes.
While we talk about it, we've got a round. Well, I captured one of the rounds that we did play. We did capture 2 out of 3, and then my capture card messed up. So here's one of them. While we talk over, if you're listening to us on iTunes, make sure to check us out on YouTube. She is playing as Catwoman. I'm playing as Robin, Damian Wayne. And one of the best things about this game is its story. The story mode, just like the first one, is dynamite. It takes place in the same world. Superman's still behind bars. And you switch out maybe 3-4 rounds as various heroes. So you get enough to sort of, you start with sort of easier to decipher heroes, and then they give you harder heroes based on your skill level as you advance through it. And the voice acting is top notch. Some of the capture, though, like the body capture, Harley Quinn is voiced by Tara Strong, who's been voicing her in animated media, in video games, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But her face model doesn't match her voice.
You do not expect that voice.
Wait, really?
It's so weird. It's very bizarre.
Very disjointed.
The performance capture looks incredible, though. I've just seen a couple of the cutscenes. It looks amazing.
It is
very cool. They don't match up the voice and the model.
Yeah,
in a very strange way.
They got really high level talent for this game, but ultimately, it's the model that doesn't work. The performances are all fantastic because they're bloody professionals, and the models look great. But it's like, well, maybe we should mix and match and maybe put this voice over here and that. But Brainiac is terrifying and my favorite voice, and I want that version of that character in as many things as possible. Here we're taking a look at Damian Wayne's super, where he just gives you explosions.
I'm transfixed. The supers look like punchlines to me.
Kind of.
And then what's the finisher? What do they call those?
That's the finisher.
That's the finisher.
That's essentially the finisher. So rounds, it's two best of two rounds, and the finishers aren't necessarily like fatalities.
Right.
It's just a move that bar that you see at the bottom left and bottom right of the screen. You can either use for reversals or enhancing your super moves.
Okay.
Or you can save it all and do a super, which just can close the gap if you're losing pretty hard.
Yeah. They look incredible. Mm-hmm. They look just so awesome. Is it the Flash one? Is it accurate? He goes like he runs in the and back to the future and then to the
Flash one is great. Is it his finisher is super cool? Yeah, he does. He literally runs through time.
It's so mm-hmm. cool.
He smacks you up against the Sphinx as it's being built.
Yep.
Then smacks you up against a T-Rex.
Right.
And then when he comes back, he hits you up against yourself.
Genius.
And who was brought there by another Flash who then takes your opponent and sends him back to whatever dimension.
See, that's it sounds like a punch. Like they must have so much fun writing these. Mm-hmm. Like, this is ridiculous.
There are some really cool ones. You got a chance to play a lot of Captain Cold.
Yeah, he was an interesting character to play. It was really fun, but that's one of the ones where you have to have pretty fine control over his special moves.
Oh, I'm sorry,
to get everything.
Captain Cold?
Are you not familiar with the Flash universe?
Captain Cold. Does he exist?
Captain Cold is my favorite.
Mr. Freeze exists independent of a dude named Captain Cold?
Yes, Leonard Snart.
Oh, all right. Now I'm learning things, folks. Dude. I'm learning.
And
deep
actually,
cut.
But actually, that brings up a very unique thing. So instead of loading the character roster with like clones, they have a system where you unlock a dynamic skin or an epic skin, because you can. A lot of this game is about getting different gear and change the look of your character. You can unlock skins that turn you into another person. So like Flash turns into Reverse Flash, or Green Lantern turns into a different Green Lantern. What are some of the other ones I have? But
Reverse Flash?
You don't know about? Yeah, Zoom.
This is a whole new world.
All right, yes,
Can you imagine if I'm like Batman's nemesis and I name myself? No, I'm Reverse Anti Batman. Like, how about pick a name that doesn't define you? Like, it's just sad.
Zoom.
That's sad.
He's
I feel bad for Reverse Flash.
How about Professor Zoom?
Sure.
Does that do better?
Way better. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Hangs out with Captain Cold in the cheap discount aisle of like knockoff.
But speaking of Captain Cold, you can unlock a skin that turns Captain Cold into Mr. Freeze.
I can't. Just my brain hurts.
But that gets it's a different voice, different lines, different dialogue, different everything. So they've managed to squeeze a whole lot into not necessarily a little.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, let me ask you this too. You said something that was really interesting at the top. You said the story is really good. Now, was that a qualifier? Is this good for a fighting game, or is the narrative just really actually awesome?
If you're not a fighting game fan, if you're a DC fan, this is required viewing. Like, I would say wait until it goes down a little bit in price, because $60 for just a story mode is a little bit much.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Or find a friend who has it and borrow it.
Yep.
But this story, along with Injustice 1, if you never played Injustice 1, that story is phenomenal.
I didn't.
It is a good story.
They gave it away on PS4 Gold for a little while ago, but it's great to catch up on. It's a wonderful story. And if just put it on easy and just cheese your way through.
Really?
But the story itself is great.
Okay.
Absolutely great.
I know, definitely, we'll have to pick this one up.
Like, even as build up to a fight between Flash and Reverse Flash, they're just speeding.
Sad.
They're literally running from Gotham, or from Metropolis to Gotham, and beating the crap out of each other, just running, like, stopping, throwing each other against cars, keep running. It's like, it's got cool action movie tentpole pieces in between. Yeah. All right, now you finish the fight.
Cool.
Da, 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 da. And speaking of finishing the fight, let's talk about Halo.
Wow. That was an amazing segue, my friend.
That was not planned.
That was no, I know. I saw the look in your eye. You're like, I am on to something.
There?
We said finish the fight. Da, 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 da.
So we watched Halo Legends, which is on Netflix right now. Would you recommend, if Halo fan or not, would you recommend this series of shorts?
No.
For a non-Halo fan, it's got a little weird few times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a quasi-Halo fan, there are a lot of things that I thought was cool.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I didn't think this was necessary viewing.
No, I don't. Like, I am a big Halo guy. Like, I played every Halo, very, very much love that kind of world. I think the lore's gotten really convoluted and backward and strange or whatever. I didn't like almost any of this. I kind of dug the last one, which was the package.
The package.
Right.
That one was metal as hell.
It was. Yeah. It was. That was cool. It was kind of rad.
That was the one that most felt like it was being a Halo.
Totally.
A movie.
Yep. I thought it was fun, right? Like, to your point, that thematically it felt very Halo. And I actually really applaud them for taking some risk. What was the samurai themed one?
The duel.
Yes, the watercolor.
Beautiful.
Watercolor 3D. Mm-hmm.
Again, didn't know what I was getting into. I think I texted you guys while watching that thinking, hey, this would be so big, great. High. Like, I was very... I thought it was cool.
That's
they took some
exactly
risks.
Exactly what you said.
Yeah, that is. Very word for word was like, maybe I should get baked and watch this show.
So
7,000 seconds.
Seven shorts in this collection. And as it started, we got Origins Part 1 and Part 2.
Yeah.
These were by an artist named Hideki Futamura, who some of his credits on his resume include Vampire Hunter D: Bloodlust. And the thing while watching this was like, this reminds me a lot of the Animatrix. And the second Renaissance, yes. Which is the first bit and a two-part first bit of the history of the Matrix universe. He worked on the second Renaissance.
Was
a big producer on a whole bunch of the other shorts in the Animatrix.
It makes complete sense.
I consider this one so much less successful, though. It's not as just pure cool as the Animatrix was.
No, that's it. Like, it dripped cool, right? Mm-hmm. The Animatrix was dope. This was not dope.
No, especially with like a cohesive piece, it was not
right
in any way.
Did you have a favorite, Stacey?
Out of that, I mean, yeah. I did
so we've got
like,
Origins 1 and 2, The Duel, Homecoming, Odd One Out, Prototype, The Babysitter, and The Package.
I mean, The Package was definitely, I think, the most enjoyable as far as story wise go.
Yeah.
I totally dug Odd One Out too.
I was just gonna ask, what was your least favorite? Because that was
Odd One Out was your least favorite.
Odd One Out was like really. In fact, I hit a low, not just for this episode, but for the series of films that we've been watching. I was like, look, I know I'm busy, but you're busy. We all have a lot going on. And I'm like, I'm really spending time watching this idiot Spartan and these caveman kids. Like, what am I doing with my life? It was tough for me. And so sell me on why I'm wrong, because I want to be.
It was a welcome break.
Yeah, I needed that breath of
from
like,
Origins
comedy.
Part 1 and 2, The Duel, Homecoming. Here comes rough. This comedy bit. Here comes this. It's not Red versus Blue, but it's a comedy bit.
Sure.
It's parody, a real Spartan.
Yeah.
It had a little bit of heart to it. I know the cave kids I wasn't quite digging as well.
No.
But the fact that it's just there were also two humans with Spartan level agility and strength.
Named Big Brother and Big Sister? Like, dog, like, name yourselves.
We're not creative.
I'm like, yeah,
as an AI that's the matriarch of the family, give them names.
Hey, Big Brother, yes.
At least we had Fred and Kelly. You know?
Yeah.
Give
absolutely.
Them something.
Totally.
But the funny thing about that one is that's by a guy who worked on a lot of Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, and One Piece.
Absolutely.
And it looked like
I was going to say,
absolutely.
Like, I think that was actually on the cutting room floor of Dragon Ball Z, and he just reskinned it.
Because the two kids were like, that looks like Akira Toriyama. That looks like Dragon Ball characters.
A million percent.
Well, yeah. I read it after the fact, and I was like, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
That is exactly what that looked like.
What was the one? Was it the prototype?
With the mech?
Yes.
Coke?
Yes.
Did you like that one?
The only thing that I liked about it was the mech part.
Yes.
And how can we get mechs in Halo?
Yes. Yeah. 100%.
So actually, that brings me to a question. Was there anything in any of these shorts that you would want to see in a Halo game? Because for me, it was that mech, that mobile suit.
Oh, yeah, I think without question.
Or like I also like the ships that they gave the Spartans in the package.
Yeah, those were cool.
Yeah.
It weirdly has a gunner, like a gunner seat in the back. I was great. I want to play that. I know. That looks super fun.
And despite being floating in space, you could hear the bullets dropping still.
That man pays attention to Foley. That's pretty good. I didn't catch that at all.
That's great, though.
Dude, I don't know. What I thought started strong or potentially could have been strong with the babysitter. I like the whole ODST concept are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And existing in those shoes in that world, I want more ODST. I want that violin score. Like, that game is rad and a really weird departure. So when they made an appearance, I was like, yeah, give me some ODST, man.
It was I was super into it. Especially when our Spartan gets grav-hammered in the face! And lives for a little while longer. But it was like, the thing that makes O'Brien go, maybe I should rethink if I like Spartans or not, is it's a woman? What?
Okay, so I have to ask, you knew that she was a woman, right? Like, from the beginning, that was really obvious, right?
Not necessarily.
No, I would say no.
Like, I didn't think okay, we were ever. I didn't know if it was chief or not because all of the Spartans wear the military green.
Yeah, yeah.
So my husband was floored when it ended up being a woman, and I looked at him and I was like, I knew from the moment she walked in.
What
I
was
like,
oh, tell?
When he was throwing a fit, oh, because story. I mean, not because of anything she particularly
got
did,
it,
but
got
because
it.
Of the how that
because
story
of, because
was
it
going.
Had to be.
Because of O'Brien
got
as
it, yes,
he was,
yeah.
I was like, that's a girl. Yep, I guarantee yep. you.
Excellent
good
point.
Call.
That now, helmet's going to come off, and that is a girl under that mask, like,
but
without doubt.
It felt like, yeah, when the helmet came off, she was, like, really, like, put together, and, like, she looked great, and it was just like, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah,
like, yeah, just you're all done up, and I'm like, yeah, all right, yeah, okay.
And the fact that we didn't get any dialogue from O'Brien, like, throughout the end, like, I can see where they were like, maybe he saw that, oh, they're still just people under there.
Right.
But the fact that you made it this glamazon.
Yes. Oh, that's, yes.
And that was the only reason it, yeah.
Yeah,
that it
and that's
things.
Why it hit. Is
yeah,
it's,
I agree.
Here's this beautiful woman with blood streaming down her face. Like, wait a minute, my life, everything. Because,
yeah.
Like, that one, the voicing was good, the action was good, the story was really cool, and I was like, are they going to get the shot off? Like, that was one of the few that I was really into. Prototype was just like, I'm not a human, I'm a ghost. Like, it was the
really pushed
the
that.
Worst.
Pushed it and pushed it.
It was so self-serious.
Yeah.
I had a hard time. Yeah.
And it was so quiet.
Be human.
Be
human.
Get it? It's poignant.
Yeah. I know. Just.
Yeah, when that came up, I was like, okay.
Come on. I know. Totally.
First off, were they in communication to be like, oh, be human. One day he's going to go
piss
into that
off.
Mech and he's going to be
yeah.
at it. Like, what?
Playing the long game.
Dude, I'm going to freak him out. I'm going to put be human.
I
can't
I
believe we're
understand.
Doing this. Yeah, like if we were doing controller toss moments, I think when that flashed on the screen, I would have just chucked it
really?
Real hard. Winged it right off my TV.
I had it on one of those ripcords, so anytime I threw it, it came right back in.
Yeah. But I will say, like, it was refreshing as a Halo fan, like, really made me want to play some Halo. Just the music, right? Like, I love that. And it's such a rousing score. The dun-dun-dun-dun. I was like, I got very excited. And, you know, I'm hoping we get some Halo news at E3.
So, yeah. So, fun little peek behind the curtain. I was initially wanted to get some video of us playing Halo 5. And not just regular Halo 5, but beer pong.
Okay.
There's a beer pong mode that somebody made in Forge that's really fun. But then I forgot that Halo 5 wasn't split screen. So for Halo 6, can you please bring back split screen?
I think they said that they are.
Good.
Yes.
Damn, that is the history of Halo is split screen. I first played it on a friend's Xbox in split screen.
I know, and it's so tough, man. The devs are in a hard spot right there, right? Because they came out and they said that they had run the analytics and like some like 7% or some nonsense players ever even use that feature, right? So they're like, again, now they have to build, but the public outraged, you would think that they like had killed Chief and replaced him with like.
But even if it's for the one, like throughout the life cycle of a game, the one time you can finally get your friends over and you can play the four-player split-screen co-op.
Yep.
But that one time is just going to... Like, I still remember the match that I first played.
Yeah.
I played, like, a carnival game where I was jumping behind a rock and he was trying to get me with the rocket launcher. And I was like, woo-hoo, woo-hoo! It was a lot of fun. We didn't talk about... So, we talked a little bit about the duel. I liked that a lot. It kind of took me that... Arbiter wasn't voiced by his regular voice actor.
Keith David.
Yes,
the Keith David.
The dialogue was rough. So rough.
It was.
It was
pretty, but.
Yeah, like that fight of him up against the army.
Yeah,
it's pretty badass.
It was stunning. Like when it started, I'm like, "What are we watching?
What happened here?" Like,
glad that they took some liberty with that. It was a bit of a departure, but
we got to see a little bit into St. Helios, which was cool.
We did,
but not enough for my taste.
No,
Homecoming.
Which one is Homecoming?
Homecoming was about Daisy trying to get. The Spartan in the red armor that was trying to get
so
to the
could not have been more generic.
It was, but I mean, I didn't hate that one.
I didn't hate it, but the only thing that it got for me was like they made clones of the kids that they took into the Spartan program just so that the parents would be like, oh, this is my child.
Right.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
That,
super, yeah.
And they also put the, gave them diseases so that they would all die at a young
age.
Well,
so now I've got a question about that too, because it is my understanding that the reason they don't just clone folks from the beginning and put those clones into the Spartan program is because inherently in cloning, there is a defect and those people die.
There you
eventually,
go.
Yeah, eventually, yeah.
Yeah, so that it was just a, hey, here, you yeah. just, so again, I'm not 100% sure that's accurate because I've heard some conflicting reports on that, but man, I wanted her to shoot her clone so bad. I was like, I was thinking like, If you saw a clone of you at your house, I would totally ace my clone.
But especially you hear about this space war and you see these legendary Spartans. You see one that looks just like you, put a gun to your head and your reaction is...
Mm. Yeah, real dumb. Really they also made the clones real dumb.
Clones
yeah.
real dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. 20
there
points IQ lower.
I dream I'm strong like you. Take this. You know, I just like, feel you should have
like
it.
Like me. Yeah. Yeah. Rough.
Very
rough.
Weird.
Why me? I don't know. Like, really? Like that's what you came up with?
Nothing too hard. Yeah,
just, I don't know.
The writer was just staring at his computer like, I don't know.
Just right, mom and dad, I just wanted her to go in and be like, look, mom and dad, I'm a Spartan now. You didn't give birth to a vegetable. Your DNA is actually really great. I'm out saving the world. Good luck with that idiot. Like,
bye.
Yeah, like, deuces and just get out. Yeah, right. I thought that was lame. I like that they took. There's an undercurrent of really dark shit in the Halo universe, right? The whole Spartan program and like even the babysitter, they went to assassinate someone, right? Mm-hmm. That is some dark.
Straight up assassination.
And I like that they kind of explored some of that. I don't think any of them were successful in it, but you know, I'm glad
it
exists.
It got very dark.
So ultimately with Halo shorts or exploring the Halo universe, would you give this a game over or an extra life?
The two questions for me, because I think in this format, I think it's it is thumbs down, no more.
Yeah.
Give me like Neil.
Over!
Game over. Give me a Neil Blomkamp, like actual live action Halo tomorrow.
Yeah.
Of that's course. What
that's what I want. Stacey, what about you?
I mean, as someone who was very on the fringe of the Halo gameplay experience and only really played the first couple and didn't go into the lore, some of it was interesting, but as a whole I don't think it was very successful.
No.
And it was definitely not accessible to people who did not know the lore very well.
Interesting.
There was a whole history lesson at first, which was informative,
yeah,
but not very much fun.
No, the flood's so lame. I guarantee they're coming. Guarantee they're coming back in six. Guarantee.
Yeah, I mean, they even
guarantee it.
I don't see why they wouldn't.
It's time.
Flood is one of the most fun game types in multiplayer. It's so fun.
Yes, a 1,000,000%.
I like the fact that these are, we got so many different art styles. It made me like the guy who directed the package, Shinji Aramaki, he did a movie called Space Pirate Captain Harlock, which is in the same 3D style as this, and it takes place in space and all this, and it made me want to watch that a lot.
Okay.
So I'd say in terms of let's let these artists play in this well-known universe, I'd give it a 1-up.
Sure. Okay.
And if let's see if they can... And we have since had three more games, two series games, one Wars, and hopefully we'll get another ODST-style game. Please, but please. Something like that where we can wrap up, not necessarily wrap up, but give these nice little presents of Halo lore that might make it more accessible. Because the live action series, the Nightfall series, I love that.
Yeah.
Did you see all of it?
No.
Okay.
Changed.
It'll get you.
Okay.
You should do that. All right. So let's move on to some news. Really quickly, right before, Rob S. in chat said that he wants the dinosaur from Odd One Out in the Halo franchise.
That is the correct answer.
Absolutely.
You just throw that stick and...
Yeah, why
Yeah, that's
not?
A great mechanic. You just point the stick and he goes and kills dudes.
Perfect.
Good call, Rob.
Perfect Halo.
Yes.
All right, so let's talk about Destiny. We're in the same wheelhouse as Bungie, the next big franchise from the Bungie folks.
Yep.
Destiny 2, the gameplay got revealed this past weekend.
It did.
Let's take a look at the reveal trailer.
Great.
And we'll talk over it a little bit too.
Good.
So that we don't get pinged for anything.
I'm good with that.
So how much did either of y'all play of the first Destiny?
I played about half, and I think Robbie almost finished it.
Okay.
Though I watched a lot of it.
Any expansions?
No.
Okay.
I played all the expansions. I put a lot of hours into Destiny. I finished Vanilla Destiny and was really underwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Like 6 out of 10, I think, post Taken King, it ended up being a thing.
Once that final update went, oh, this is great.
Yep.
I enjoyed it from top to bottom. I was in there from the alpha.
And
the game taught me, oh, it's just going to the same places and shooting the same monsters and getting better stuff every time.
Yep.
I was kind of all right with that.
I was into it.
Okay.
Because I could turn my mind off and just like, oh, let's shoot some bad guys. Oh, if I want to do story, I'll do some story.
Right.
I didn't do a lot of PvP. I didn't finish any of the raids.
None. No, man.
I started a three-person Vault of Glass.
Yep.
And got about three quarters of the way through.
That's tough.
But it was. We played it on regular, so it wasn't like on hard or anything. Right. And we were all super leveled up with all of our weapons and stuff. But yeah, regardless... story, like the fact that this is supposed to be a gameplay reveal trailer, and it's look at our story.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
we've
yeah.
got a huge story.
Yeah, I mean, clearly they're beating that drum. They're like, I didn't hear the word grimoire card anywhere during
point.
The course of it. Although I did my favorite beat from this whole presentation. I had some friends that were in the audience. And they leaned into, hey, we have side quests now. And I'm like, really? That's what we're putting in the box?
Wait, we had side quests.
Ish. They're like really into like, I think the reason we didn't see the social space is because that will be the big E3 reveal.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. So they wanted to get out ahead of all of the noise of E3 and have this be a gameplay reveal. But I think it'd be really interesting to see like what that social space looks like. So let me ask you guys this. How do you feel? Like, Mark, you played a lot.
I had this on two consoles.
I know you did.
Mm-hmm. And I played a lot, but I still didn't play a lot of Warlock.
Do you feel like this looks like a proper sequel from what they've shown? Is this Destiny 2 or is this Destiny 1.5 in your estimation?
This is Destiny 2. I definitely think this is Destiny 2 because they're taking a lot of what the fan complaints were
mm-hmm.
and not doing exactly what there should be to quote resolve it,
sure.
mm-hmm.
but they're making it like, okay, well, how can this fit with what we want to do and make it appeal to everybody else? We're getting more guns. They improved the gun system, so it's not just this type, and you can. It seems like you can have a little bit more variety in how you roll out.
I don't know how I feel about it.
I didn't use secondary weapons that much.
Oh man, I loved being a shotgun. I rolled everywhere
just
with a shotgun.
But like being a Titan, I feel okay with rolling up with a shotgun.
Yeah,
but being a hunter, I was like, I guess I'll sniper. I guess whatever. Plasma rifle?
Yes. I don't know. The weapon system is yet to be... I think we need some hands-on to kind of understand that. Because like, it's my understanding that third slot is shotgun or rocket launcher or sniper rifle is that third shot, that slot. That's a power weapon. And so, like, I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll have to see
One of the loadouts that I saw from some folks who are at the gameplay reveal, it had that minigun.
Yep.
A grenade launcher and a hand cannon.
Okay.
All right.
And the minigun was really light. And it took a little bit to start up, but it rolled and it annihilated.
But you felt like everything they showed to me felt like quality of life improvements, right? Like mm-hmm. no more going to orbit.
That's great.
Huge.
You could just go straight to the next planet that you want to go to. We also got to look at some of our new classes. We had Dawnblade for the Warlock.
We did.
Which is a much more action-oriented right there up on the screen. We've got Arc Striker.
Yes. It looked awesome.
Super cool. I didn't use Arcblade that much. I'm a Golden Gun guy.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right.
So if I could still use a type of golden gun in a way, but yeah. And then I was a real big fan of the Sentinel for the Titan because you're Captain America.
Yo, yeah, no, 100%. That looks so much fun.
You just ding them off.
It looked really cool.
Yeah, and it seemed to have made so instead of having to do the bubble shield and everybody comes to you, it's everybody follow me.
Yep,
I'm gonna lead the charge and we're just gonna beat the crap out of everybody.
Did you use the hammers as a Titan?
Barely.
Okay. Yeah.
The
fun.
Bubble was way too. Fun. It was way too useful.
Fair enough.
Way
too useful. Yeah.
It's a good team. They also talked that Crucible is all 4v4
esports.
And guided games, which is you'll be able to use clans to fill in the space to do more strikes and raids.
How do you feel about that? As a guy who didn't experience a lot of the high level content, I only did one raid. Getting six people together is a nightmare.
That's the thing.
How do you feel about guided games?
Great.
You do?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because if you can give me. Five people who can already work as a team instead of a whole, just six randos.
Yeah,
I'm down.
I got mixed feelings about it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the liability on a team of five friends who know each other. It's not like five individual randos. Like to your point, you may be the odd man out and the one that they're dragging behind. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad it's there, right? Like, it existed, LFG existed offline, outside of that ecosystem, so I'm glad they brought that in.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Stacey, final thoughts on Destiny 2?
I'm looking forward to playing it. I've wanted to revisit Destiny and actually finish it for a while now, just when I have time, so I'm ready to go forward.
I just re-downloaded it on PS4.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
All right. Are you excited?
Yeah, but there's a lot of other stuff that I want to play.
Yeah,
so hopefully if we get the beta soon, which I think we're going to, then we'll be able to give it a proper go.
Yep. You playing on PS4?
I don't know yet.
I don't know. Okay.
I don't know yet. I hope so, like I need to decide who, or I need to think of who would want to play it more with me.
Yeah, totally.
Etc. All right. Real quickly, we're going to blow through these. Today, came out that we got a little bit of an update on the Uncharted movie.
We did.
So Deadline reported that once Sony execs saw the cut of Spider-Man Homecoming, they went, that Tom Holland, we got to put him in anything that we can. So they attached him to the new to the Uncharted film, which has been in developmental hell, as young Nathan Drake. And it's reported that it's going to take inspiration from the flashback from Uncharted 3, where Drake meets Sully.
Right.
Now, there's some split opinions on this.
Yeah.
Patrick?
Oh. I'm not into it. I don't care. Like, young Drake's boring. I love that moment because it was cool seeing young Sully. And again, it's a great opening to that game. Like, loved that they mixed it up. And it's time and place. It was awesome. I think move on. I actually really liked the tone of 4.
Yep.
A lot, and really interested to see that Drake or something approximating that. But you guys are into it.
I am. My memories of Uncharted have always been kind of a fun, like, playful kind
of. Yeah, sure.
You know, there's the banter, and it was an enjoyable time.
Yep.
So Tom Holland, I think, is kind of towards that choice to set up for a franchise that has a little more fun with itself.
If you're going
to
do young Drake, he's a great choice.
No, and I don't think they're going to do shot for shot the scene where he's trying to get the thing out. Yeah. If we're getting 22-year-old Nathan Drake, that's amazing. Like, him being like a total ladies' man, and Sully just not like, hey, shut up.
Right.
Like, that sort of stuff,
yep.
I'm into it. Like, his first, second or third adventure,
sure.
You know? Like, just carbon copy an Indiana Jones movie where the first scene has nothing to do with the rest of the movie, but it's like, hey, this is the adventure you're ready for. I'm excited for it. Let's just get the Uncharted movie at this point.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, now we'll be kind of quick on this last story. Resident Evil is going to get a reboot. And not only that.
Oh, sweet.
This
is awesome.
What? Germany's Constantin Films are going to produce an original 6-movie franchise.
I'm sorry, did you say six?
Six movies!
This more than five.
So this came out at Cannes. So Cannes is still going on right now over in France. And it...
He just can't.
There's no word.
It made $1 billion. It is a $1 billion franchise.
It makes sense financially.
They have to reboot it, of course.
Are we
going to get a reboot of the Resident Evil movie story or a reboot
not a chance.
With the Resident Evil games?
Not a chance they reboot that story.
They can't. I mean, they very well could.
But blank slate.
No, yeah, start new. At least start new.
Yeah, start with Resident Evil. Like, you could just go 1 through 4 being the game, like, straight up the games.
Yeah.
Maybe do Code Veronica in there because I don't want to see 6. And kind of don't want to see 5 either. But I would love to see a cinematic representation of Resident Evil 7 because that fits with American Horror.
And I just want Mia Jovovich to just guest appearance. Mm-hmm. She just needs to be there just to say hi or something. Yeah, totally. Yeah. She's an extra, just walks by or kicks something.
And the interesting thing that I saw in this story, and this is the last bit we're going to talk about, is that Paul W.S. Anderson, who wrote all 6 of the installments, they don't know if he's going to be involved in the reboot or not. Because he's preparing Monster Hunter for Capcom.
What are we even doing?
Which is slated for late 2017, early 2018.
Great.
Now, I don't know if that's live action or animated, but we're getting a Monster Hunter movie, y'all.
Doesn't matter.
Does it really change things?
No. What are we doing? What are we doing? God.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So let us know what you think about Resident Evil, about Tom Holland, about Monster Hunter, about Destiny 2, Halo Legends, and what you have been playing in the comments down below, or find us on Twitter. Oh, we did it. So,
we did it.
In 2 weeks' time.
Yes. Okay.
To celebrate the release of Tekken 7, we're going to be talking about Tekken.
I'm leaving.
Yeah!
I'm quitting the show.
Also,
it's been a good run.
So the other thing I'm going to say, Patrick.
Okay, I'm back.
Since E3 is going to be coming up, I'm thinking that we're going to do an E3 special that is just video game news.
Hell yeah.
How about that? Does that make you feel a little bit better?
It does. I'm back on board.
Welcome.
You know, yeah. He knows how to treat me well. Yeah, I'm back. I'm sorry. Like,
we're good.
E3 is amazing. It is like Christmas time for me, right? Like, it is like all of the cool stuff happens. It's incredible.
Yeah, I know I'm going to EA Play. Are you going to EA Play?
Yes. I'll be there.
And we're trying to figure out the convention itself. Yep. But until next time, Patrick, what are you working on? Where can the folks find you?
Find me at Peter the D's. All the updates will be there. Please tweet at me. Tell me how wrong I am about Young Drake.
Stacey.
Fair enough. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Stacey Shuttles or at Nerds Doing Stuff.
And I'm at Mark B. Donica. Let us know how you like today's show. We're trying to spice it up, get a little bit more video game into our anatomy. What?
Yes.
Actually, that's great.
Yeah.
We're here to get more video game into your anatomy.
Wow.
You heard it here first.
DM in the sheets right there, man. This man.
There it is.
This
classic.
Man.
I'm gonna roll today.
Let's not forget that sweet transition. Anyway, it's just
speaking
sweet
about finishing
transition. Aside from that, we want your feedback. This show is going to be evolving and changing, and it's going to be thanks to you. So if you want gameplay, if you want whatever you want, we're going to try to help and bend it a little bit more to your will. So please comment down below. Find us on Twitter. Please. Let the folks at Popcorn Talk know they're on Twitter at The Popcorn Talk. Again, I'm at Mark B. Donica. Use the hashtag VGM Anatomy. But until next time, we will see you in space.
I'm not going to space.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.